You are listening to a sermon by Paul Thiessen, recorded on Sunday, February 25th, 2024, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speakers are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Well, you mentioned the different lectionaries which are available to us, and I have used the Catholic lectionary for at least 12, 14 years, which I stumbled upon quite accidentally when we were traveling in Quebec and stopped at the Church of St. Anne de Beaupré in Charlevoix, there's a claim of many miracles having taken place. And lying there was this lectionary called Living with Christ. And there were copies that were lying there, which people were invited to help themselves to. So I took a copy with me, and I liked it so much that I've been using it as my lectionary ever since. Living with Christ. It's published by Novalis, and it really is a good lectionary. Let me just start by thanking you, Veronica, for the way you set up the program today. That photograph of the eagle seems so appropriate because Sven and I were walking on the dike in Ladner this week on Tuesday, and there was almost exactly the image that you've posted in the worship sheet, eagle on a tree. It was just so impressive. So thank you very much, and I really appreciate that. So let me begin. I've entitled the message, All Who Wander Are Not Lost. And several years ago, we were on vacation on the island of Hvar in Croatia on a lovely sunny day in September and had embarked on a long walk when we lost our bearings and, for want of a better word, became lost. It is a beautiful island reached by ferry from Dubrovnik and covered in wild lavender. So the aroma of lavender is everywhere and the scenery is beautiful and tranquil. But we were lost. The island is sparsely populated and we encountered only a few other hikers. Trails crisscross the island with occasional small clusters of sheep accompanied by a shepherd. We did not possess a GPS device and were relying on a map that seemed to be outdated and at variance with what we were experiencing and the trails we encountered. Our attempts to ask directions were stymied by our lack of language proficiency in Serbo-Croatian, like as in zero. We were getting quite anxious by our lost state and inability to navigate back to civilization when we stumbled on a tiny hamlet of only a few houses where the populace were engaged in celebrating their saint's day. They treated us to food and libations, and directed us to the right path to take us back to the Hvar town, which was our destination. So while the experience made us anxious and disoriented, we discovered a village and experience we had not been anticipating, and the experience was the highlight of our day. We were temporarily lost, but not irretrievably so. This episode illustrates how wandering can in fact be completely worthwhile experience that exposes you to an unplanned and unanticipated encounter that is ultimately desirable and fulfilling. This experience obviously contrasts sharply with the desperate wandering of the millions of refugees the world over who are uprooted by war and conflicts and flee in a desperate attempt to find a safe haven. My niece volunteered for over 3 years with Euro Relief, an organization that works in the Mediterranean, focusing on the numerous desperate refugees washing up on the shores of the island of Mytilene, which is just off the coast of Turkey in the Mediterranean. She just returned this last summer. I encounter similar wandering folks in the Sherbrooke Food Bank each week on Thursday mornings, who are mostly from Central and South America, and more recently from Afghanistan. In January, I met a family of seven, two parents, five children from ages 5 to 19, recently arrived from Afghanistan, who typify our clients. Their lives were endangered in Afghanistan by the father having worked for the Canadian military. And so they fled to Pakistan first for 2 years en route to Canada, where the oldest male, who's 19, Rabbi, taught English. And so he's like completely fluent in English. Their wandering has now been mercifully halted by finding refuge in the safety of Canada. The wandering of desperate peoples is as old as mankind, and the presence of many of us in this service attests to the wandering of our beleaguered families who fled Ukraine and Russia in the 1920s for new lives in Canada. So we certainly do understand wandering in that larger sense of the word. Let's begin by focusing on the Deuteronomy passage, where we encounter the story of the wandering of the Israelites, beginning at Mount Seir, which is Mount Sinai. This is where Esau and his family dwelt between the Dead Sea and the Gulf of Aqaba in the northern tip of the Red Sea. God warns them that they will be passing through the territory of the descendants of Esau who live in the district of Seir. They are instructed to buy food and water from them. They are assured that God has blessed them in their undertakings and that he has continually accompanied them. The Israelites wandering in the wilderness was not a pointless exercise, but taught them to rely on God's grace and generosity. Similarly, when we feel that we are wandering without direction, it may be that God has a lesson that he wishes to teach us that we cannot see from our current vantage point as a wanderer. We may need to exercise patience, trusting that God knows what is best for us in the longer term. The children of Israel were eventually led to Canaan despite all the hardships and suffering along the way. Then Moses recited the song that was read this morning from Deuteronomy 32, 10 to 14, in the company of the whole assembly of Israel, in which he assures them that God has shielded them, cared for them, and, quote, guarded them as the apple of his eye. So although they are wandering, God has a very clear plan for where they're heading and how he will protect them and ensure their arrival at their destination. The visual image here is very powerful indeed, for, quote, as an eagle stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, as it spreads its wings and bears them aloft on its pinions, the Lord alone guided them. Let's briefly examine this image of the eagle bearing up its young on its wings. Ornithologists have often thought that this biblical picture of an eagle carrying her young was merely figurative. But in recent years, reliable observers and webcams and nest cams have observed a parent bird letting its young rest briefly on their feathered back when there is no other roosting place in sight. When an eagle nests on the ledge of a sheer-walled canyon, many feet above the earth, with no jutting tree or protruding rock to break the fall, the quick movement of a mother bird or father bird to offer their back to a frightened fledgling may be the only way to provide the protection needed to allow that fledgling to try its wings again. This behavior has rarely been witnessed or reported in North or South America or Europe, but this could be a behavior more commonly witnessed among the eagles native to the Middle East. Whether this truly occurs in the wild is probably not material, as the verse is clearly a simile or a metaphor. It says, as an eagle, like an eagle. Many translators view the second half of verse 11, where it says, as the eagle spreads its wings, takes them aloft, up and bears them aloft on its pinions, the Lord alone guided him. This is often viewed as strictly a simile, comparing how an eagle cares for its young to God's care of Israel and also of us. There is another reference to this in Exodus 19:4. Quote, You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. As we live in a secular world where God's intervention may not be clearly manifest, perhaps we need to see where we can serve as an intermediary for the eagle's wings and support others in need. The act of being borne up on eagle's wings is not a protracted flight over a long distance, but a brief intervention to prevent a fall for a fledgling eagle learning to fly. That image can be applied to the ways in which we can help others whose lives we encounter in our daily walk. Our intervention does not have to be protracted in order to be helpful. We need to live in a state of constant vigilance where we are alert to opportunities to provide support and care for those in need whose lives intersect with ours, however briefly. It may not be necessary to support them for long periods in order to be worthwhile. Even a brief episode of intervention in a difficult moment may be sufficient to tide them over a difficult time or experience. Coming alongside with a phone call or greeting or visit may be just what they need to restore their hope and resolve at a time of discouragement or despair. And I think of this often when I'm in the Sherbrooke Food Bank on Thursday mornings, and we have very brief encounters with people where there's often a significant language barrier. This may be a very brief lifting up, and yet tremendously valuable and appreciated. The very fact that you care may be a buoying up. We should live our lives in a constant state of vigilance that permits us to see where and when we can be that eagle who bears up another who is in danger of falling. May God be with us as we strive daily to lend support to others we encounter who may need to be buoyed up and assisted in a time of difficulty or need. Amen.